It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Christmas. I'm a big fan of Christmas, and I love celebrating our Lord's birth. I'm off for the Christmas holidays. My team and I are enjoying our time with our family. I hope you are too. Please listen in to some of our favorite recorded interviews, and enjoy your Christmas holidays. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Hey guys, we are back. My next guest, James Arthur Ray, New York Times bestselling author of Harmonic Wealth, published in 81 countries around the world, translated into 18 different languages. James is also co-author of the groundbreaking film, The Secret. His experience as an entrepreneur earned his company a spot in the Inc. 500 list in 2009 as one of the fastest growing companies in the U.S. James was featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show, CNN's Larry King Live, Piers Morgan Live, Good Morning America, and many more internationally syndicated shows. At the top of his industry, James was involved in a terrible accident in 2009 that claimed the lives of three people he cared about deeply. As a result, James lost his business. He was abandoned by most of his friends and colleagues. Simultaneously, his mother was diagnosed with cancer, his father with dementia, and eventually, James also lost his freedom. Rebuilding his life, James' personal experience proves that it's in the challenges and the adversities of life that we reset, reboot, reassess, and realize once again what's truly important. James states that it's our challenges and our crisis that present the greatest opportunity, and if we're only willing to utilize them in that way, I love that quote. James Arthur Ray, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks, Bert. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Okay, so I am so impressed by what's happened to you and how you've handled it, because really a lot of people would have handled it so differently, so poorly. You have really risen to the challenge, and so I want our audience to understand what has transpired in your life. Obviously, a lot of people know you around the world, but just kind of give us a recap what your life has been over the last few years.
I don't think we have enough time, Bert. it's been a grand adventure, to say the least. Now, it's been an adventure wrapped in pain, but an adventure nonetheless. I really know, I don't believe, Bert, but I know that the purpose of life is to live. And so, I've lived. There will not come a time at the end of my journey in this physical form where I'll look back and go, damn, that was boring. And I don't mean to make light of anything, but it's been challenging. I've been to the peak and I've been to the pit.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that most of us look at adversity and challenges almost through like a victim mentality versus, as you say, looking for the opportunities that are, hidden within these challenges. So,
Bert? I think in, particularly in Western culture, we have bought into, in personal development and spiritual development, and even in economic and political arenas, we bought into a fantasy. If you look at the history of the United States, we're embryos on this planet by comparison to other countries. I mean, we're a really young nation. And yes, we've gone through adversities, but, if we go back to the end of World War II, we've been on a climb primarily for a long, long time. And so consequently, we tend to condition ourselves into thinking that things are going to get better and better and better and better and better and better and better. But the reality is there's a law in this universe called the law of rhythm, which says everything moves in cycles and rhythms, and history proves that. And when you understand that, Bert, then you recognize that the strategies in the winter time, if you will, are different than the strategies in the spring and the summer. And a lot of people convince themselves that if I just know the law of attraction, if I just learn the right strategy, if I just, you know, go through the right circumambulations or religious rituals, that I'm going to have all rainbows and roses. And that's just not true.
Right. Now let's talk about that a little bit, because you were in this blockbuster movie, The Secret, and there's a lot of people out there that that talk about the law of attraction, and that if you think a certain way, all the stuff is going to be brought into your life, and that's not always the case. The law of attraction, is it that simple? Am I missing something? Because some people will tell you it doesn't work, and then you'll have just as many people who say it works all the time. So what's your take on the law of attraction when you're dealing with crap that you weren't expecting, that you weren't even thinking about?
Well, I think one of the great fantasies, if I may reflect back on that premise that I just mentioned a moment ago, is that if I think the right thoughts, then I'm never going to have any challenges, and all great things are going to show up in my life. You know, we hear all the little ditties, Bert, like, you know, what you think about, you become. Well, that's
right.
Just not true. You know, I mean, if that were true, when I was in high school, I would have become a busty varsity cheerleader, right? Because that's all I ever thought about, you know. And so it's not that simple. No, you're not missing something, Bert. You're an intelligent, you know, individual who's looking at the reality of things that, you know, I can't tell you, even to this day, Bert, you know, I've been back teaching and sharing and mentoring for a year, and I get Facebook messages all the time, you know, tell me how I was just, in fact, doing some mentoring last night. How do I become famous and make a lot of money really fast? Well, you don't. You know, first and foremost, I was listening to your previous guest, and first and foremost, wrong objective. Famous and lots of money, wrong objective. You know, I've been really blessed to be on the stage with billionaires, Richard Branson, Donald Trump. I've had dinner with billionaires, Sheldon Adelson, and many multimillionaires, and I can assure you that not one of them, Bert, not one, went into what they're doing to make money. They go into what they're doing because they love it, because they want to become good at it, and they want to provide service. They maybe want to change the world in some profound way. Steve Jobs was a great example of that.
Sure.
And so we got to realign our thinking. We really do, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. I think that it's that mass media where it's been hyped out of proportion that, you know, if you do this, if you think this way, then like you said, nothing but rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns will transverse through your life. And I think that, at least in my life, and I'm hearing it from you as well, that you start to become aware of who you are and what matters most to you during these times of challenges and crisis. Not too long ago, I sat down with Kelly LeBrock. And I don't know if you know who she is. Kelly LeBrock was probably most famous for Weird Science, and, you know, and she was in a couple of Steven Seagal movies. And so then when she started having a family, she removed herself from Hollywood. So we talked about times of setbacks and challenges, and she says these are the best opportunities because it really helps you become the person that you want to become. And
well, let me
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that most of us, especially in Western culture, most of us, kind of what you said at the beginning of the segment, that we've been taught to avoid these things, that this is pain, that this is wrong, that we shouldn't be having these things, and it truly is, or it certainly can be a blessing if we choose to go that way. But go ahead.
Let me give you a simple example. I was flying into Minneapolis once to speak to 500 people. The flight was delayed. I used to be on the road over 200 days a year. I was in 3 to 4 different states per month, every single week. You know, 12 states, 12 states per month, 3 to 4 every single week. And, you know, a lot of time on a plane. So a flight was delayed. I mean, that happens. Flight is delayed. I get off. I'm running late. There's 500 people in a room waiting for me to present. The promoter is beside herself. I get off, I go down to get my bag, they lost my bag. Of course, right?
Of course.
They lost my bag, they don't know where it is, and so I'm attempting to deal with that and fill out the claim form, and I'm already way late. I jump in the back of the car, and I have one of these drivers who is just adamant about driving the speed limit. And I'm in the back seat, and I'm doing my best. I'm saying, hey, you know, what would it take for you to, like, go 57 at least, you know? And she's like, nope, I'm not getting the ticket. And so, okay, I rush into the back of the house through the kitchen. The promoter meets me in the hallway in the back, and the first word out of her mouth were, how did you attract this, James? Kind of smug, right? And I said,
thinking
by
about
being on the road over 200 days a year,
yeah.
You know, it's the mentality. And you know, when things went sideways in my life, or to say the least sideways, I mean,
yeah.
They went upside down. There were people all over the internet, well, this guy doesn't know anything about the law of attraction. I submit to you that if you're on a rapid growth curve, and if you're really going after anything in life, talk to the greatest entrepreneurs. You're going to have more challenges, not less.
That's
and
right.
To think otherwise is an illusion.
Let me point this out. This is historically factual. You can look, and again, not to become too spiritual here. I don't want to freak anybody out, but I'm going to use the Bible. If you look at the Bible or you look at the Torah, you look at the people who were on the growth curve, as you're talking about, moving as fast as they can towards their objectives, and they were met with more challenges, more hostility, more opposition. So why would it be different for you and I?
I'm so glad you said that, Bert. I just wrote in a recent blog. I do a blog every Monday, and in a recent blog, I said the very same thing you just said. I said, you know, look at Abraham, look at Moses, look at Joseph, look at Peter, look at Paul, look at Jesus. You know, we live in a country, or in a world, that says it's 25% Christian. Now, what that means, that's up for discussion. But, you know, at least we all look at the Old Testament if 25% are Christian, and if you're Judaic or Islamic, you look at the Old Testament, and we and the Christians also look at the New. But take anyone in that book, not one of them had an easy life. Not one. Now, you don't like that book? Well, then go to mythology. In all great mythology, the hero always faces tremendous challenges. I think Hercules faced 7 or 10, and they sometimes and often go to hell. They're often killed, they're ostracized, and they finally come forth. That's the journey of the human soul. I believe what we've lost in our society and in our world, Bert, is our mythology, not a fantasy about some actual historic figure that lived in the past, which turns mythology into a newspaper report of historical events. Mythology is the history book of the soul. And that's what we must go through, because it's that those times that peel away all the illusions and all the layers of crap, if you will. And believe me, I had plenty of layers. I
sure.
bought into my own press. I really bought in lock, stock, and barrel to my own press.
You know what, and I'm so glad you're so honest to talk about that, because when I look back at all the biggest mistakes that I've made in my life, you know, it's because I bought into my own BS, right? You start believing that you are all this crap, and then you realize, you know, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Nobody really knows me, or nobody really cares, and, you know, you got to pick up after yourself just like everybody else, and whatever.
Yeah, you know, Bert, it's really easy to develop a lot of hubris in my profession. I was very blessed, and I recognize now that I was blessed, and I mean that in the ultimate sense of the word. It wasn't me; it was coming to me and through me versus from me. Big
right.
difference. And I had people from 143 different countries coming to my live events, thousands of people asking me how to improve their business and their lives, and you start to kind of think you got it figured out, you know. And it's then I believe that the universe cares enough about us to say, well, let me rip the rug out from under you and see how much you got figured out, bucko. you know. Because now let's see what you really believe. You know, now okay. Do you really believe what you say you do? And can you live it in the fire?
Yeah, it, okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about this, because in the intro I talk about the fact that you lost a lot of your friends. Now, these are
yes.
people that you obviously thought were your friends, but as you said, when the fire came on, you know, and all this negative press was being thrown at you, how many stood by your side?
Well, if you want to look at what I would traditionally call the spiritual, I think there's two arenas. There's the more spiritual oriented personal development arena, which are the people in the secret, and that group of individuals. And then there's the more practical personal development arena, and out of all of it, two people
wow.
picked up the phone to ever call and say, "How are you doing?" And that was Bob Proctor and Rhonda Byrne. They were the only two that picked up the phone to even say, "How are you doing?" And these were people that I rubbed elbows with, I worked with, and that being said, though, Bird, I'm not casting stones, because I understand. If you look back, it took me a long time to come to understanding, by the way, because I went through a lot of bitterness and anger. I was angry at God at one point. And
sure.
Yet that was my own self-importance. I realize that now. If you go back to 2009, you look at what was happening historically. We had just come off of a peak in the personal development arena. The real estate market hit the skids. You know, it was a tough time. And so I understand, you know, if the situation had been reversed, I would like to say that I would have been different. I can't say that for sure. I'd like to say I could. But you just don't know, you know, when things are going sideways and you're hanging on by your fingernails in your business, you don't want to associate yourself with the guy who has leprosy. You
right.
know, I mean,
right.
why put your
well,
business
and on
at
top
greater
of that,
risk?
And, yeah, not only there's that issue there, that element there, and then there's the other element that a lot of people, because of lack of, let's say, training, really don't know what to do with you. Do I call him? Do I leave him alone? If he picks up the phone, what do I say? You know, there is
yeah.
that. There is some of that. I mean, obviously, your good friends could call you up and say, "Dude, you know," and at least talk with you and support you. Let me ask you this though. Okay, you have probably one of the biggest selling book, New York Times bestselling book, Harmonic Wealth. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, I mean, it's worldwide. You know, 18, 20 languages, millions have sold. Did the concepts in that book, how did they help you when you were going through your challenges, when you're going through trial, when you were, I guess, in prison for 2 years? Did you go back and review those concepts? How did they help you?
Actually, I did, Bert. I read my own book twice while I was in prison. And I thought it was pretty damn good, actually.
Were you going through it and going, "Wow, that was good. I can't believe I said that. That's really good."
Yeah, you know, exactly. The best things that I, quote, have ever created, I realize have come through me, not from me. Big difference.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I write a lot of times when I'm really inspired, when I'm plugged into higher intelligence, universal intelligence, and it comes through me, and I read the page, and I'm like, "Damn, where did that come from?" Because it wasn't from me. But the reality is, my objective with Harmonic Wealth was to redefine wealth. And, you know, if you trace the root of the wealth word wealth back to its origins, it translates as well-being. You know, we've turned it into money. In Western culture, it's not money. You can go after the
right.
money and get rich. It doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy. I can guarantee you, as I said earlier, I've been blessed to mentor and to work with many multimillionaires. I've shared the stage with billionaires. And, you know, in many cases, the only people who worry more about money than the poor are the rich. Because, you know, you show up as you. You know, the more money you have, Bert, the more opportunities you have to lose it. And so, consequently, wealth is well-being. And what I talk about in that book is a state of harmony and well-being across five areas of life: financial, relational, mental, physical, and spiritual. And did that get me through my life challenges? You bet it did, because I call those the five pillars. The money was gone quickly. I was financially busted before my trial even began. I had a law team that so believed in my cause and was so noble, they did it all pro bono.
No.
I can't tell you. I cannot tell you how much. No, I'm serious. I cannot tell you, you know, how much it costs to defend yourself in a criminal trial. It would blow your mind. But I'll tell you, it's eight figures. And so, Munger, Tolles, and Olson believed in me. They believed in the case. They actually sought me out. And so the money was gone. My point is that's only, finances is only one-fifth of the equation, financial, relational, mental, physical, spiritual. It was the strength in those other pillars that kept me afloat. You know, true wealth is not what you have, Bert. It's what you're left with when all you have is gone. I lost my home. I lost my life savings. I lost my business. It took me 20 years to build. When all that, I lost my reputation. I was attacked and vilified, as you know. When all that went down, what I was left with was what I had inside. And that's true wealth. True wealth is an internal realization, not an external acquisition. And I believe, you know, that's I've lived it, and that's a big thing that I'm passionate about us coming to as a collective populace in our world today.
James Arthur Ray, we're going to end on that note. I think that you hit the key, you hit the nail right on the head. That is true wealth, because ultimately the money fades. You know, you're shoved in a hole in the ground, and you know, all your stuff that you work for is gone. The only thing left is your legacy, your friends, your family, the people who, you know, internal wealth that you talked about. James, great stuff. Look forward to having you back on the show again. And I know that my producers are talking to your people about the stuff that we're doing on TV. Look forward to meeting you there. And looking forward to having you back again, my friend. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, keep doing good work, Bert. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Guys, that wraps it up. Great stuff there by James Arthur Ray. Learning from your challenges, turning your crisis into an opportunity to make yourself better. Finding out where your true wealth lies.
Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch, and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.